like that. It was after the burial, death, and the resurrection of our Lord before he became a believer, which puts a little pressure on. Just think, if Jesus was your brother, you know your mom would say, now, couldn't you be a little more like Jesus? You know, the comparison game. It would be pretty tough to live up to that standard. But James is a very practical book. That's why you can actually get a lot of material in a short amount of time, because it is very practical. It talks about trials. It talks about prejudice. It talks about faith without works. It talks about your tongue, pride, humility, not boasting about tomorrow. There's just so many practical things in the book of James. But one specific part of it is chapter 4, 1 through 10, is what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. And very practical stuff that everybody is going to struggle with. So let's read James chapter 4, 1 through 10. If you guys want to stand, you sure may. And I will read that. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, 'The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy,' but he gives more grace? Therefore, he says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this portion of Scripture. Dear Lord, I just pray that you help us see the real battle that lies within us. The battle of what we want in our flesh versus what you want for us in your will. Dear Lord, just first of all, just help us see it. But then also, Lord, just help us overcome it by your Spirit. Help us fight against the devil, that we can withstand any darts he may throw at us. And also, Lord, we just thank you that you give us grace, because we need it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that starts out with that question: where do wars and fights come from among you? We like to blame, they made me do it. If they wouldn't have done this, it'd be their fault. Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? So your own wars come from within yourself. Contrary to most teachings out there today, they do come from within yourself. There is a battle going on. And where does that battle? The obvious scripture to me would be Ephesians 6, where God tells us the remedy. Ephesians 6, verse 10, he starts out, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we're in a battle. We're in a battle against ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says he has to die daily. He says, I die daily to myself, or to sin and to myself. Romans 6 is another one where the battle is real, it's present, it's in the heart of every believer, that the battle is going on. Romans 6, I'll read 6 through 14. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So the battle continues. And then another thing that I want to bring to your attention. So we know we're in a battle. The other thing is, I think that we've lost a lot of the urgency or the intenseness of the severity of our sin. I think a lot of times we tend to we sin. We just have a sin problem. Yeah, we're all sinners. We don't think that much about it. I just think we tend to overlook it, and we don't really, really deal with it and the severity of it. He calls us adulterers and adulteresses, is what he calls us. And then he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. When we are in sin, and I think this is mostly pride and idolatry is really what he's talking about here. But when you think about it, husbands, what would be the grossest sin your wife could do against you? I'm just thinking as how a man thinks. And that's what God calls us. This chapter 4 of James is not written to the people that are not a part of a body of Christ. It's written to believers. It's not written to the world. It's written to the church. And he's calling them adulterers and adulteresses. This sin problem is real. And it affects us as individuals. It affects our relationships. It affects our relationship with God. In Hosea 4, a few weeks ago, I read through the book of Hosea. And it is just filled with references of Israel being the harlot and leaving its love of God. And I'm just going to read a portion of it, but if you read through Hosea, it is just, it's filled with it. Hosea himself had to marry a harlot so he could understand what God was going through. Just a tip of it, of what God was going through when Israel was following false gods and false idols. I'll just pick some verses here. I'll start at verse 11 in Hosea 4. It says, "Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit adultery, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled." What are we giving our affections to? That's the question here in James chapter 4. What is it that we desire? What are the pleasures that war against our members? What are they? We lust and we do not have. We murder and covet and cannot obtain. Those things, those idols, are not just, it's just part of the American dream. No, actually, we are adulterers and adulteresses when we bow down to these idols. When we become a friend of the world, we are at enmity with God. I'll read some more scripture to kind of that follows the same point. 1 John 2:15-16. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Another thing, too, is there's usually not many, well, you know, maybe this or that. It states the fact that the love of the Father is not in him. It's not a maybe. That's what it says. Another one is John chapter 3. John chapter 3:19-20. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Serious. It really is. It's a battle that we face every day. Whether we drive through the new pickup lot, go look at a new home, whether we stroll through the electronics section, it's a battle. We always want the next thing. Or maybe it's power. Maybe it's money. But it is adultery to God. But one thing about the Bible, and one thing about the news of the gospel, there's two sides. It's the best good news, bad news book you can ever read. There is a way out. And there's things we can do to put checks in our lives to not fall to these things that just keep coming at us through the media, through just driving around, the things we see, our eyes, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. There are ways we can overcome it, and that is the good news. That is the good news of the gospel. It's one of my favorite words in the Bible is but. Lost my page. In verse 6. But he, God, gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So the two things that are at battle here are man's pride, the things that we want our way, we want to do it, and then there's humility, submission to what God wants for it. And sometimes it's hard to submit to that. Like, certain things we don't want to submit. Is there anything that anybody here got something they don't like to submit to? Like, it's hard for me to ride with my wife if I'm not sleeping and let her drive. Just one thing. I have a hard time letting go of the wheel. Anybody else have anything? That's just one little one. I'm sure she could come up with a lot more, but there's just things that we do not want to let control of. We don't want to lose that control. And that's what it takes faith. When we have to submit to God, it's really saying, okay, God, I am yours. And in the United States of America, the thing of it is, we can work out of any situation just about, can't we? We can just, if we need some more money, we can put an extra shift in, or we can go out and work just a little bit harder. We're Americans. It's the American way. We can just do it a little bit better to get out of it. So it's hard for us to bring this level of submission that God demands of us. So that's the first way. I would read 1 Peter 5. You can probably, if you're on James, you can slip over a couple pages. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 9, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself. Yeah. Submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So submit, and then I kept reading. The next thing we can do, in verse 7, it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's one thing about James, it's kind of like the how-to book. You know what? You buy a treadmill, or you buy a piece of furniture, and it comes with this instructions in four different languages, and you're not really sure how to understand it or how to put that thing together. But James, pretty black and white. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? So what's the problem? How come the devil just keeps coming in there? No matter how hard we resist him, it seems like Seems like he wants to keep coming back. Is it because the Bible's wrong, or is it because maybe we're not really great at resisting him? You know, sometimes we like to leave the door open just a crack, just to see. And there he comes. And then 8 is probably my favorite one when it works, is draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It always works. I take that back. It's whether or not I put it into practice. When you get into God's word and you really search him out, he does. When you draw near to him, he does draw near to you. Can't get any more true than that statement. And that's our problem. A lot of times we think we're too busy or we have too many distractions in our life, is probably the most of it. But we don't take the time to draw near to him. Me personally, I think society as a whole just don't want to take that time to draw near to him. Part of it is, or a couple things, is probably we don't want to have to submit to him, because when we draw near to him, he's going to ask us to do things that we're probably not real excited about doing. And when that happens, it happens, and then obedience, and then it just starts all over. But there's nothing more rewarding, or fulfilling, I should say, maybe, than drawing near to him and listening when he speaks to you, and then you can obey him. And it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. It's basically, he wants us to repent and turn to him. And it says, let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. It's not that he doesn't want us to be laughing or happy. It's more that when we laugh or mock or joke about sin is what it's dealing with. And we're guilty of it. We'll be like, remember that time when, you know, Dwayne, you remember them stories? Yeah. You know, we tend to laugh about it, but it, when you go back to verse 4, how serious God really takes that sin that was in our life. And then lastly, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's what we want. The seriousness of it is, he hated so much that he had to send his own son to die for it. And it was the only satisfactory payment that could pay for it. And when we see sin in that seriousness, but then we see his love for us, that he would send his son for it. And how great that grace is. And it's just great to be around a body of believers who humble themselves to accept this gift. We did. We had to accept this gift. And I do pray for those that haven't. People that we come in contact with every day that have not humbled themselves to accept this gift. So that's my challenge. First of all, we walk this out as believers. We see the battle. We see the severity of it. We see the price that God had to pay for it. But he also gives us the instructions to draw near to him. And that's my goal. That's my goal for this church, is that we can do that, and also that we can show that to a lost and dying world out there. You know, as a friend of the world, do they know that we're any different than them? That's one way to tell if you're a friend of the world. Is there any difference? there any difference? Let's close. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for today. We just want to thank you for your word. And Lord, help us be different. We can't do it on our own strength. This isn't a New Year's resolution of trying to straighten up our lives. This is the command that says, draw near to me. When we draw near to you as individuals, as a body, dear Lord, the world will know the difference. And dear Lord, I do pray for the strength to do that on a daily basis, like Paul prayed for. That he dies daily. Because it is a battle. It's real. It is severe. But yet we are given the power through your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit to be overcomers. And dear Lord, I do pray that we can do that. That we can be a light to this community. That we can edify one another daily. That we can love each other, dear Lord. And I just thank you that it is possible because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, did on that cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's it. Let's enjoy fellowship. We're dismissed.